responds to your calling this day. We also pray that our worship honors you and glorifies you, Lord, and that it puts a big old smile on your face. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. So one of the things that I've been thinking about this week is Jesus talked about being friends with his apostles, and he said, I call you friend. And you think about that. What an honor that Jesus, the Messiah, called them friend. Not just a child, but a friend. And that's what I want us to think about today. Jesus also calls us friend. So as we sing, What a Friend, think about that honor he bestowed upon us. I love that song. Now, what does it mean to follow God? If you look up the definition of follow, you'll find follow can be used to describe varying actions. But what caught my eye were the following actions: act according to an instruction or precept or law, pay close attention to and practice as in a trade or profession. And the big thing to me is looking at the scripture in Matthew 4:19 through 20, we read this. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. They up and quit their jobs. You see how enormous that was? They just dropped their nets and took off and followed Jesus. And I have to say, I read that several times, and I kind of felt ashamed when I think how little personal devotional time I've been spending with God because I'm so busy, right? Work. Now, I'm not saying we all quit our jobs. No, no. I'm just saying priorities. We have to follow him. And part of following him is choices. Amen? We have to make these painful choices. The big thing is we want to follow him. Now, as we get ready to sing our next song, Oceans, imagine, if you will, that Jesus walked up to you just now and said, come, follow me. Not telling you where. It could be out in the middle of the ocean. Could be to Africa. Could be to Antarctica. But you're going to go. Can I hear an amen? Amen.
You are mine. I would like to have one more moment of prayer before we go to our scripture reading. We're in a tough time right now in this world, but one thing I want you all to know, God is always there, and I know you know that, but we have to remind ourselves daily that He is in control. Not what's going on in the world, He is in control, and we will rise above this with His help. Father God, we just thank you right now, and help us to trust and grow in you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
As long as I can remember. It's awesome. It's an awesome job. I highly recommend it. Fresh air, sunshine, beautiful breezes, the feel of the sand and the pebbles in your toes. It's great. It's not all great. You know, fish can be stinky. And as you can see, we have the daily chore of mending our nets. I mean, this little fella here, he got stuck in a hole. So there's work. There's work. If you're going to do this, there's work. So just an ordinary day on the Sea of Galilee. And then this guy comes along. And he points to me and my brother Peter, which you probably know Simon. Yeah, I don't get much press, but Simon, he's all over the place. And he says, come with me right now. Leave your nets and let's go. I don't know how to describe the feeling that came over me because that's insane. But it didn't feel insane. It was that instant, like, this is the right thing to do. You're going to put down your nets and you're going to leave your boat and the job you've had forever, and you're going to walk away from this beautiful sea and the waves and the storms, and you're going to follow this guy because you just know it's the right thing to do. And my challenge to you this week is to just do some research on me. Andrew, did I mention my name was Andrew? Because, you know, I did. You can see in the history. I followed. I put my nets down, and I followed. And he told me we were going to be fishers of men. What the heck does that mean? I mean, I have my bait. I know how to fish for fish. But what do you do to fish for men? And so, you know, I was just like, huh. Yeah, okay, so how are we going to do that? And do you know what his answer was? Really? Sometimes I look back and think, how on earth did I do this? Did I take the step? Because his answer was, all you need is love. Na, 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 na. And so, with that, I'm off. And I'm going to challenge you to listen. Listen for his call. It's beautiful, and it resonates with you, and you'll know it when you hear it. And all you need is love. So, my bait, my worms, in case you guys want to take up fishing, I'll leave them at the door. But all you need is love. Na, 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 na.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20, and this is a responsive reading, please. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and hired men and followed him. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I greet you this morning in the name of God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on a crisp, cool Sunday morning. Of course, you know, in anticipation, how many of you are preparing after you leave here to run to the grocery store to get your milk and bread? And if that's not enough, Wednesday you get to do it all over again. I know, it's one of those things. And I wish we would anticipate things in the church with that much zest and anticipation. But, you know, sometimes we don't. But anyway, would you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of our mouths, my mouth, and the meditation of our hearts be holy and acceptable unto you. And may your Spirit speak to our spirits as your word is proclaimed this day. For all this we ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't kind of noticed, we're kind of following a little bit of a theme here. Last week we saw the call to Nathanael to become a disciple and follower of Christ. This morning we look at the four primary. Now, Andrew is not really considered one of the primaries. It's always, you know, Peter, James, and John who usually get the most press. And, you know, rightfully so. But at the same time, I want us to think about Andrew briefly. I want you to think about when we see Andrew in the Gospel of John after all these things are taking place. Who is the one who follows Jesus and asks him, "Where are you staying?" It was Andrew. Andrew actually doesn't get enough credit. He's really the first disciple to have primary interaction with Jesus. And so here we are, we're seeing him again in the Gospel of Mark, that call to the disciples. And if you didn't kind of know that, you wouldn't know that Jesus already has been, I kind of imagine he's already been working on his draft picks, if you remember last week's sermon. And so Andrew was already on that list. He was one of those who was there with John. He heard those words of that John spoke, "So behold the Lamb of God." And so he follows him. And so now We're later in time. Notice, John has been arrested. And it's almost as though, if you kind of look at it, the mantle is now being passed. John had his ministry there at the Jordan. He was baptizing. He had disciples and followers and those that were learning from him. And so now, the formal ministry of Jesus is getting ready to really take off. And so now he's calling those disciples. And as I said, Jesus knows who he's looking for. The reality of it is, to sit there and say, "I'm going to go look for some guys that are fishermen," would probably not be high on anyone's priority list. But for Jesus, they are. But again, that beautiful invitation, "Come follow me." Those words are the ones that just pierce to the soul. Have you ever thought about that? If you have been asked to do something and then someone says to you, follow me, be a part of what I'm doing. Have you ever thought how that really kind of affects you? Oftentimes we get told what we're supposed to do, but to have an invitation extended kind of shifts and changes how we respond. We feel a part of because of an invitation. We feel obligated when we're told. And I think that, again, is one of the beautiful things and aspects about discipleship with Jesus Christ. It is not an obligation, though once you have become invested in it, you will see where those things are necessary and the musts come in. But it is always that thing of follow. The other thing I think about this particular scripture, and I think about the call of Jesus to the disciples and to us, is I go back to Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah is lifted up in that vision and he sees God sitting upon the throne and the angels arising and singing. But the words of invitation, though it's a question posed, who will go for us? Whom shall we send? And Isaiah's quick response, here I am, Lord, send me. Discipleship isn't easy. We sometimes forget the hard of it. But it is through the hard that it makes things worthwhile. And I can't remember the movie, but there's a quote in there somewhere. But notice we're introduced to these fishermen. Simon, otherwise known as Peter, and Andrew. Very simple. They're out there. They're working. Invitation is sent. But I want us to think about fishing for a moment. Now, we had two items here. One is the net. And thank you, by the way, for leaving these up here for me. Now, this is really not, you might use this if you're going to try and catch bait fish. Or after you've caught your fish, you just reach under, scoop it up so you can bring it into the boat. But you can catch a few fish with these, okay? The other one here is more of a, and I'm going to step out to the side a little bit. So if you miss me on Facebook, I'll be back. But you kind of take that and you put it in the water and you kind of scoop up the fish, okay? Another way of using the net is called a casting net. And that thing will be as 10 feet around, sometimes even larger, and it'll have weights tied around the outside edges. And so what you would do is you would stand on your boat, or you can also stand on the seashore if the fish are close enough, and you would take, and you've got to be very skilled at this because you've got to get that thing to fan out so that when it hits the water, those weights will cause it to drop, and then the drawstring, as you pull it, closes everything in on the fish. Now, you think about that in the relation of the church. And again, I think about the ministry here, the food pantry, because that is a net casting enterprise. You have a large opportunity to be able to minister to multiple people at one time. Whenever you have an opportunity to do a meal or something like that and you get guests coming in, it's a large-scale opportunity to be able to get to know and develop relationships with those people. But on the other side of that is where you have to have a little more skill. And that's where you use a fishing pole. Now, if you've ever done any fishing, it's not just simply sitting there putting something on the end of the hook and throwing a line out there. If you've ever paid any attention to these fishing competitions, these guys practice their art. And it is an art. If you've ever watched a fly fisherman, they'll tell you it's all about the presentation. And they'll sit there and they'll take that wing and they'll whip it back and forth and then finally let it go so that a fly, something about the size of a quarter, depending upon how much feathering is on there, will hit that water and look like a bug. Bloop. Right out there where a fish will be. Or if you're a bass fisherman, you still have to understand presentation, because if you're in a boat and you're in a cove and you want to put your bait right there at the edge of this log, you got to be good to be able to hit that spot. Again, it's much like discipleship. When God sets us up in opportunities to be able to minister, we have to see where we really need to use technique and skill. The thing is, it's not us consciously doing it. It's God working through us to make that opportunity happen. And then we have the skill of the presentation. Now, again, I'm more acquainted with bass fishing and things like that. And so you've got to understand there's all kinds of different types of bait. You've got spinner bait, buzz bait. You've got shad wraps. You've got deep swimming. You've got shallow running. You've got worms. Anybody remember WKRP in Cincinnati? Red Wigglers, the Cadillac of worms. Okay? Now, or you might want to use live bait like a cricket. Okay? Grubs, all these things. The thing is, you can sit there and use them, but if you don't know how to use them, you're wasting your time. Again, it's about presentation. The kind of bait, how you use it, all is instrumental in how it works towards getting the result that you want. As disciples of Christ, and as those who are working in the ministry of love and grace, we use the skills that we have, that God has given to us. Those gifts and graces that allow us to be used by Him, and to use one another in the goal of reaching others with the love of Christ. The other interesting thing here, that when we see this scripture, I want us to think a little bit about this, because it lends us into an understanding of where we could put our focus. When we see Simon and Andrew, they're two brothers out there on the boat. We kind of see them separate. Now, there are many fishermen out there on the Sea of Galilee, but Peter and Andrew are their own little corporation. They're the small business. And so they work very hard to ply their trade, and so everything that happens takes place with purpose and reason. When we see James and John, they're working for their dad, and they have other fishermen. They got other employees, so they're the bigger business. And so each one of them has an opportunity to be able to work in different ways in order, again, to achieve the goal. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up just outside of Stanton on what's called Old New Hope Road. That's what we called it, Old New Hope Road. In fact, if you want directions, you take I-81 to exit 225, you get off the exit, you turn left. Go 3/4 mile, get to the top of the hill, turn right. After you turn right, you'll go past Annex United Methodist Church, which was the first church I served. You'll go 1.5 miles. After you go past the S-turns, take a left down a wide paved driveway into the farm. That's where I grew up. If you can remember that, please go right ahead. You're going to see a trucking company down there now. So I grew up here. Went to college at East Tennessee State. Now, I'm going to ask you a quiz. What do you think I studied in college? Anybody brave enough to hazard a guess?
Business management.
Business management? No.
Agriculture.
Nope.
Science?
No.
Teaching.
Well, think about this for a moment. Girls. What did somebody say? Girls? That was my minor.
of all things to study in college and to become a pastor. All right, are you ready for this? Because there again, there are no coincidences with God. I majored in public relations and advertising. You know what my minor was? Speech.
When I started feeling the sense of call to ministry, I'm sitting there praying one night, and I'm recounting all these things that I've done in my life, and then it was kind of like, and that's really how hollow my head was at the time. Do you understand how I've been preparing you for the ministry that you will now take on? I have been very blessed and fortunate that my ministry has taken place in less than a 20-mile radius around where I grew up. If you'd have put me in Northern Virginia or Richmond or down towards the Tidewater area, I don't think I would have survived, because my understandings of things and the ways of doing things are predicated and I mean, they're geared towards this kind of an area. Now, there are other areas in the state that my ministry could have grown in. But again, I was blessed to serve here amongst people that I've known for many years of my life. And so when we see James and John and Peter and Andrew, we begin to understand that one of the other aspects about their ministry is how they worked and how they lived, who they were. Peter and Andrew could minister more towards the small business type person, whereas James and John, they might have been able to minister more towards the larger business type person. Think about it this way. There was a tax collector in the bunch. Who do you think he could have best ministered to? There were zealots. There was even a thief. Each one of them was best suited to be able to minister in specific ways to different types of people. And God uses each and every one of us. There are many things that call to us in this world today. Some of those calls will be answered. Different ministries, different opportunities. Think about your employment. When you got to a point where you said, you know, something different has to come about, and you might have changed your job. The call is the expression of the nature of the one who calls. Now think about that for a moment. In discipleship with Jesus Christ, that call is an expression, first of all, of the one who calls. Jesus calls us out of love. He calls us out of grace. And we can only recognize that call if that same nature is within us. Again, the Spirit is always doing that work to make that ground fertile so that whatever seeds are sown will be able to grow and produce the great fruit that it should. But we have to continue to make ourselves available and to continually answer that call. Now, as long as I dwell on my own qualities, as long as I dwell and try to pat myself on the back for my own abilities, the traits and things that I think I am best suited for are probably not going to be realized, because I will focus more on what I want rather than what God wants. I've used this example many a time. Anybody in here a school teacher? Okay. Do you teach Sunday school? Bless you. And I say that specifically because one of the things that usually ends up happening in the life of the church, teachers are supposed to teach Sunday school because that's what their job is. That's their calling. They do it every day. People who work in finance should be either the treasurer or the chair of the finance committee. Somebody who works in carpentry should be, does maintenance should be on the board of trustees because they can fix everything. Friends, frankly, that's not the case. The gifts and skills that they may have used and developed in their everyday life, that may not be where God wants them to be in the life of the church. Oh, it'll be utilized. And there are those who will sit there and say, well, I'm best suited to do this, so I want to go and do this work. And sometimes they will become so frustrated because things don't work out the way they anticipate them to work out. God has chosen the way you are best suited to serve in the church. To be able to serve and meet the needs of God's people so that everything that we do, again, produces fruit. The service which results in my life is what is suited to me and is an expression of the nature of God and the nature of what God wants to cultivate in me. My character, my gifts, my talents are all given to me by God, and God wants to show me how to best use them. God wants to best show you how to use them. Service is an overflow which pours from the life filled with love and devotion. But strictly speaking, there is no call to that if I am not willing to serve. Service is what I bring to the relationship and becomes the reflection of my identity with that very nature of God. Service becomes a natural part of my life. It becomes the extension. And it helps to increase the relationship that I have with God through Christ. That proper relationship, proper understanding to his call, will help me to continue to grow, but it will also increase my motivation in absolute love. The thing for us, though, and right now is, and I'm going to say, we're kind of in a, the church is in a lull, and I say the church, I'm talking about the whole body of Christ. We're in a lull. I think what we really need to see this is in two parts. One is, what are the aspects of ministry we can do now? But also, two, is what is God preparing for us on the other side of this? What's going to be the push and the need that the church is going to be able to fill? The problem is, if we're not being in tune to that, we have to be aware of the fact that there are going to be those different things that are going to compete with our loyalty to Christ. The greatest competitor of true devotion to Jesus Christ sometimes can actually be the service we want to do for him instead of what he wants us to do. It's easier to serve in some ways than to be, as Paul says, to be poured out as the drink offering. To be poured out completely, to be used totally in service to him. So my prayer for you and for us as the church is that God will continue to show each and every one of us and to affirm in you what you are best suited for. And that you may continue to seek those ways to best serve and to share the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge. Amen, amen. And amen. I think we now have the opportunity to lift up our prayers for the offering. And so let us bow our heads now as we do that. Holy God, every good and perfect gift comes from you. We know that. In the good times and even in the bad. In the days of plenty and the times of little. When there is much rain and even in times of drought, you are the one who provides. Our creator, our sustainer. And so, Lord God, it is our privilege and our blessing to bring back unto you these gifts, these tithes and these offerings. May you use them in whatever way necessary to bring glory unto your name and to the name of your Son, our Savior, so that the ministry of this congregation and these people may continue to grow, continue to produce a fruit in abundance, and the love of Christ continually be made known. For all this we ask and pray in Christ Jesus' name. And all God's children said, Amen. Did we have any prayer concerns? Okay, so no online or requested prayer concerns. So does anybody here have any prayer concerns at this time? Okay. Anybody else? Then again, cool. Yes.
I have a friend. I had my bone marrow test this week, and I've been declared for the second time cancer-free.
Amen. 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 Anyone else? Praises or concerns? If there are none, again, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Holy God, again, praise you, for you are truly good. You who knitted us together in our mother's wombs, we see the blessing of that and the birth of a child. We see that continuing work and tests that come out positive, bringing us good results. We pray, Lord, for those who are not with us this day, for whatever reason, that your hand would be with them and continue to guide them and give them strength. For Kyle, as he ventures off to go to training, not just in the work and the things that he will learn there, but also the removal from family and those he loves. So we pray your blessing on him and for Amy as she recovers from shingles. And Lord, for others who are not mentioned today, but yet we hold them in our hearts, may your blessing be upon them for healing, for strength, for comfort, for peace, for deeper understanding, for revealing in the times of waiting, and to know, Lord God, that you walk with us every step of the way. You are the one who never leaves us, nor do you ever forsake us. So, Lord God, on this day, we lift these persons and these events up to you and pray, Lord, you will continue to move us and shape us to your further glory and to the glory of the one who came to save, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so, Lord God, hear us now as we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen.
First off, we want to thank you, Pastor, for coming and preaching for us. We really appreciate the message you brought today. Wanted to share a couple of announcements with you. First, the mission team wants to help Stanton United Methodist Church with their Green Hanger Project. Gently used clothing, laundered, with no stains or holes, and a lot of items are listed. So please read this in your happenings. It's really a good mission, and you can contact Lori Mooney if you have any questions. Also, we have a little note from Cindy. Please, last chance to get something in the February newsletter is Monday the 25th, so get that into the office. Please note this special one, Jean Half's birthday. Oh, we love Jean. I miss her so much. Her birthday is coming up January 27th. That's Wednesday. She will be 95 years young. Amen? She's at the Bridgewater home. She can't have contact with a lot of people, but her address is listed in the happenings, 302 North 2nd Street, room 220, assisted living, Bridgewater, Virginia. Also, we want to include congratulations to Heidi and Kyle on the birth of the baby. Goodness gracious, you got your house full, baby. I'm telling you what. So we'll be praying for you guys so much, so much. And that is that. Anything that you want to mention, any announcements you want to add to that before we go to our last song? No? Speak now or forever hold your peace. All right. I pray everyone has a blessed week. Please walk out of here knowing God loves you, and we love you, and I'm so thankful for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now let's sing that last song.
Now may you who are rooted and grounded in Christ's love go forth to touch, to share, to sow, and receive all that you need and to provide all that others need, so that the love of Christ may continue to abound and the fruit of the Spirit may continue to bring forth more fruit. Amen and amen. Blessings to you all.